So we were talking about your trip to Quebec City in April of 2001. What's going to bring you there?
I'm going there because it's an extension, in fact, of like FTAA and NAFTA and banks and everything else. So for me, it's important to go, and I want to go. I want to be part of that because I also want to be part of history, and it's social change, and people have to be involved also. So I want to be part of that. And what else you wanted to ask me this question? Why am I going? I'm going because it's anti-humanitarian. It doesn't involve the people. I mean, they don't have any public, a round of tables where the people can say why they oppose the FTAA, and if they do, they're all elected people amongst themselves, and it's not very representative.
And you were saying you don't trust the officials to speak for you.
No, not at all. I mean, I've always had a souci, a doute de souci. How do you say that in English? I don't trust politicians.
And you gave an example of the president who signed NAFTA.
Mulroney, yeah. He promised the Canadians that if we elected him, he wouldn't sign the NAFTA agreement, and in which he did. And that was, like, unacceptable. And I don't even know how come he got away with that personally.
Clinton got away with it, too. He said the same thing.
Yeah, they all do. And so it's like, you know, like, smell the coffee already? Like, I knew he wouldn't abide to what he says. That was obvious for me. And it's like, oh, no, they're not going to fall for that. And they did. And I hope it's a good lesson. I hope that they really realize the people that don't trust what they say. They're just a bunch of liars. I mean, it's obvious.
What do you see in Montreal in your daily life there that reinforces the notion that globalization and free trade is not a good thing for most of humanity?
Well, look at our Medicare system. That's a good example. And our education, too. It's like it's becoming so inaccessible. And we're a very bad example for the Americans because of our healthcare system. We've had it for so many years, and it's a good system. But they're just siphoning all the money out of the system, and they say, "Well, look, see why we have to privatize the medical system." Which is, I mean, well, it's obvious. I mean, if you're going to take every cent out of there, I mean, it's going to collapse, you know? And so that's one example. And there's just more poverty. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, I'm reading a lot of things about what's going on in other parts of the world, and it's like it's devastating. I mean, the environment. I mean, there's no logic really. Like, they're cutting down forests for investments and their money. There's no fame. There's no fame to their greed and their hunger.
What do you think of women's fate in globalization? What's the impact on women?
Well, look at the maquiladoras, and they hire young women to work in their big manufacturers. You know, because women are very vulnerable, and they're getting pushed out of their own home, taking care and rearing the children. Not only did they do just that, but they have to do other things too now, which is work, and because the cost of living is getting so high, so they have no choice, and so they hire them, and it's like women are getting used, and I think their health is in danger personally. There's more stress, and it's becoming a very big burden on women. It's like double workload for them, I find, and it's worse. I mean, it's not very good here, but it's worst in the third world countries.
What can you say to the people of the United States to get them to go to Quebec City in 2001?
Well, our fate is their fate, so we're all one, and what affects us will affect them and affect every other country. And what we do as North Americans is, in a way, we're lucky, you know, that we still live in a place where they say, well, so-called democracy, which is total crap, but nevertheless, I mean, like, you know, we're lucky because we can make things politically, change things politically here, where in Guatemala you just get your head shot off, you know, like don't even talk about asking for democracy or anything like that. So it's very repressive down there. But here, I mean, okay, a lot of people are in jail in the States. It's phenomenal. And it's getting like that in Canada. So we've got to become more solidaire. All of us, especially in North America, and get people in the movement. I mean, it's got to pick up so that we can fight for all of us.
It's interesting that you bring up the fact that protest in other countries has lethal repercussions, whereas here in the States and in Canada, you might get beaten in the head or thrown in jail, but that's only temporary.
It's temporary, but I'm convinced there are a lot of people that are not necessarily militantisme, but are in jail, like poor people, black people, Hispanic people. And I mean, maybe it's because they're selling drugs, but that's because they have no choice. And it's very repressive. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in jail for extensive amount of time for no reason and everything else. So going to jail, us, for militantisme is nothing. It's like, my God, we can get a little smack in the head, but that's not what I want. But I mean, compared to the violence that people are actually living all the time for just survival means, it's like, wow.
So
it's worth maybe going to jail for a few days.
So you would tell anyone coming to Quebec City in 2001 in April, not to be fearful of police repression, not to be intimidated by their use of force, to come out and exercise your rights anyway.
Absolutely, yeah, it's worth it. I mean, I've never gone to jail, but I'm willing to risk it this time because I feel, geez, you know, I mean, it can't be that bad. But if it is, well, geez, you know, like it's for a good cause. So, yeah, I think it's it's good.
So we'll see you in Quebec City.
We will.
All right, thanks a lot.